Distinguished Lecture, 6:30 p.m. Thursday. More at McNayArt.org.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jamie McIntyre. President Obama calls the defining challenge of our time the growing income gap between America's rich and poor.
A dangerous and growing inequality and lack of upward mobility that has jeopardized middle-class America's basic bargain, that if you work hard, you have a chance to get ahead. I believe this is the defining challenge of our time, making sure our economy works for every working American.
The president challenged Republicans in Congress to do more than say no to initiatives such as raising the minimum wage or expanding health coverage. In the restive northern Iraqi city of Kirkuk, the sound of an insurgent assault on a government office right after a car bombing and a suicide attack. At least four people were killed, almost four dozen wounded in the two-hour gun battle at the Police Intelligence Department compound. Mexican officials are searching for a truck stolen earlier this week that's carrying dangerous radioactive material. NPR's Kerry Khan reports authorities fear it could be used to make a dirty bomb.
The truck was transporting the radioactive substance from a hospital in Tijuana to a storage facility in the central state of Hidalgo. Early Monday morning, the driver pulled over in a gas station to sleep. He told police he was awoken by assailants, bound and gagged, and left in a nearby field. It took authorities 12 hours before issuing an alert of the theft and description of the vehicle to six nearby states in the capital. Health officials say the material is protectively sealed, but if opened, is lethal after 4 minutes of exposure. Experts fear the Cobalt 60 can be used in a dirty bomb, which uses conventional explosives to disperse the radiation. Mexican authorities reported the theft to the International Atomic Energy Agency, which has long pushed for tighter security of radioactive material. Kerry Khan, NPR News, Mexico City.
On Wall Street, the Dow closed down 24, S&P fell 2, NASDAQ up a fraction. This is NPR. The effort to get high-speed broadband in every school is getting a boost from two technology gurus, Facebook creator Mark Zuckerberg and Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates. Zuckerberg's Startup Education and Gates Foundation are contributing a combined $9 million to the nonprofit Education Superhighway. That's a San Francisco-based nonprofit that's working to improve connectivity in schools. Testimony began today in the criminal trial of a former BP worker charged in the 2010 Gulf of Mexico oil spill. NPR's Debbie Elliott reports Kurt Mix has pleaded not guilty to obstruction of justice.
U.S. prosecutor Jennifer Salino told a New Orleans federal jury yesterday that Mix was trying to destroy evidence when he deleted text messages and voicemails in the aftermath of the deadly disaster. Mix was a drilling engineer for BP and was involved in the company's efforts to stop the flow of oil from its out-of-control well. His attorney, Joan McPhee, said Mix didn't hide anything from a grand jury investigating the spill and that he deleted the text for the most innocent of reasons. Mix is the first of four current or former BP employees to face criminal charges in the worst offshore oil disaster in U.S. history. Debbie Elliott, NPR News.
A Norman Rockwell painting titled Saying Grace has been sold at a New York City auction for a record $46 million. Sotheby's says it's the highest price ever paid at auction for an American painting and for a work by the Saturday Evening Post illustrator. In 2006, Sotheby's sold Norman Rockwell's Breaking Home Ties for more than $15 million. At the time, that was also a record. I'm Jamie McIntyre, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, helping people build measurably better lives. On the web at hewlett.org.
Good afternoon. It's 3:35. This is Texas Public Radio News on KSTX. I'm Steve Short. Texas voters have not even made it to the March primaries, and yet they are already seeing a preview of what the general election could look like between gubernatorial candidates Republican Attorney General Greg Abbott and Democratic Fort Worth State Senator Wendy Davis. While Abbott was visiting schools in North Texas, Davis issued a statement taking issue with Abbott's act to defend the legislature's $5.4 billion
$1 billion funding cut for public education in 2011, to which Abbott responded.
If she were governor, would she ask her attorney general not to defend the laws passed by the legislature?
Davis quickly fired back with a statement saying that if she were governor in 2011, she would have vetoed the cuts. Professor Cal Gilson teaches political science at Southern Methodist University in Dallas and says he was surprised that Abbott didn't defend the 2011 cuts as strongly as he has in the past. Forecast calls for a mostly cloudy sky tonight with a low around 62. There's a 30% chance of showers on Thursday. Temperatures will also fall through the 50s in the afternoon. Currently, it's partly cloudy and 76 degrees in San Antonio. I'm Steve Short. That's Texas Public Radio News on KSTX.
Welcome back to The Source on KSTX and David Martin Davies. According to the San Antonio Aerospace Industry Study, Economic Impact in 2010, published by the Greater San Antonio Chamber of Commerce, the local aerospace industry includes a range of businesses that manufacture aircraft equipment and parts and services and repair aircraft, produce and distribute transportation equipment and supply air transportation, and they operate flight schools. So San Antonio has a very robust and a great legacy of being involved in the aerospace industry and creating aerospace jobs. The industry's growth over the time in San Antonio has been dramatic and consistent. It's grown over 440% over the last 20 years, 260% over the last 15 years, 75% over the last 10 years. You can kind of see there's a trend here. And over the past slight dip in jobs between 2008 and 2010, that's when the economy was not so great. But we've seen a sort of a slowdown in the growth in aerospace development here in San Antonio. So we just want to ask the question, what is the future looking like for San Antonio's aerospace industry? And we're joined by Bruce Miller. He is the CEO of Port San Antonio. Welcome to The Source, Mr. Miller.
Oh, good morning. Good afternoon.
So let me ask you, you see this trend. Where are we on what's happening with San Antonio's job growth for aerospace?
Well, we deal with one segment of that. You outlined a pretty broad spectrum, which is robust. Our segment deals with the maintenance, repair, and overhaul of airplanes, and including their customization. We have one company, Gore, that takes the big wide bodies and converts them to flying palaces for heads of state, some pretty phenomenal interior work that's done on these planes. And then we have basic work on military aircraft. Boeing rebuilds the bodies. Lockheed Standard Aero Chromalloy rebuilds the engines. And their work has been strong and steady since they first came in when Kelly closed. They were able to bring these companies to town and take over the military work that the Air Force had been doing. And that's maintained a steady stream of workers and growth in that industry. With the winding down of the fighting in the Middle East and with the sequestration that hit pretty quickly, the change in the Federal's Air Force's capability to repair these planes, work has slowed down dramatically. When these companies first came here, the general plan was, this is a test. If it works here in San Antonio, these companies were very interested in staying and growing. And they found that it's a good place to do business. The cost of business is reasonable. And they've got a great workforce that Alamo Colleges and St. Philip's all work to build out at Port San Antonio. With that, they've been making a transition, which was, like I said, the original concept, from military work to private work with an eye towards trying to continue the military work. And that's a lot of what we do in this community is supporting them in Washington to ensure that there's a steady flow of military work coming to San Antonio. But as that is slowing naturally through these federal processes, the ability to bring in private work is much more important. Boeing, you've seen action with their bringing in the Dreamliners for conversion work when they had battery problems. A lot of that work was done here in San Antonio, and conversion of air cargo planes Boeing has been pretty successful with. Lockheed has started some engine work private. It's all pretty slow. It takes some time. So these companies are retooling. There has been a slowdown in workforce. But the opportunities are there to bring in the commercial work. We work very closely with the rest of the community trying to keep costs low for operations at the airport. And we're working hard to attract them, new customers to come in, existing customers to expand. We see a lot of opportunity with our existing customers, Boeing, Gore that I mentioned, Standard Aero, Chromalloy, Lockheed. These are the big ones. And then there's logistics and contractors and vendors that work with these companies that provide ancillary jobs. And we've got a strong workforce. We've got a very capable young workforce in San Antonio. And we're working very closely between these customers, the aerospace companies, and our training institutions to continue to have a robust workforce here with specialized training, certifications, all the things that need to be done. As they move to private work, it's a different process from what the military requirements are. So there's additional training that people have to go through and additional certifications to work on the private commercial. Changes in body types, composite aircraft today are prevalent. The military aircraft was metal. So there's skill sets and changes that need to occur as workers adapt to the new products.
Our phone lines are open if you want to call in, if you've got a question or a comment about the state of San Antonio's aerospace industry and job creation in that industry. Call in. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to the source at tpr.org. According to that 2010 study by the Greater San Antonio Chamber of Commerce about the economic impact of the aerospace industry, they pegged it at $5.4 billion a year in positive impact for San Antonio. That's a huge number. It's a big part of our economy. Do you think that we don't pay enough attention to it, to recognize it and let everyone know that, yeah, we are still very much a big aviation industry city?
I believe we do. We can always do more, and we're interested in doing that. But there's a great partnership in this city between the different government units. We're a government unit ourselves created by the city under state law. To focus on the development of Port San Antonio and these kinds of customers. And there's a greater awareness today, especially working with the Alamo colleges and the chamber, the different chambers here in town, that focuses on the need to market more directly to aerospace companies. And you get a lot of your growth in an established industry like this from your existing customers, the ones that are already here. But we also give attention to trying to find new companies to come in.
And talking about creating jobs and making sure that we've got the workforce for when somebody says we may want to move to San Antonio, we have things like the Aerospace Academy, which offers classes and instructions to help and give a real-world experience with full-time summer internships.
They have some unique programs here that the rest of the country looks at. That starts in high school and gives young people the opportunity to learn the crafts involved with aerospace and then either pursue jointly college careers or further training and jobs that are hooked directly with the training.
So, this is a really competitive industry.
Very competitive, and we're competing across the country with other cities that are interested in the same thing. And today,
because everyone is seeing the tightening, and everyone's going to try and get real scrappy to find out we're going to be the ones to be survivors. So
the key is the workforce and the talent that we can attract and build here in San Antonio.
Okay, we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to talk about San Antonio's aerospace industry. This is a job creator for the city of San Antonio. We've got to take care of it. If we've got questions, call in. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You're listening to The Source on KSTX, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about San Antonio's aerospace industry. According to the Greater San Antonio Chamber of Commerce, it contributes to $5.4 billion to the local economy each year. And so this is also a very competitive industry. We're talking with Bruce Miller. He's the CEO of Port San Antonio, where we do have a lot of commercial and work happening to the planes out there. We're joined by City Councilman Ray Saldana, District 4 council member, who is also active in trying to make sure San Antonio remains competitive in this industry. Welcome to The Source, Councilman.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So what is your take on how what we're doing as a city to remain competitive in the aerospace industry?
Sure, yeah. So we at the city, at least at the city council level and the mayor, have taken this extremely serious because this really is the most important thing happening in the city with respect to economic development and creating jobs. So, you know, we decided we can't sit on our hands, during this time, especially because the iron is hot to strike with respect to the changes in the aerospace industry and the reduction in military spending happening at our bases. And, you know, this is a city that's proud of its legacy of its military heritage. I represent the Southwest side, and you can't throw a rock without hitting somebody who has a history and a past with having taken a paycheck at Kelly Air Force Base and put their food on the table and put their children through college. So, you know, what we want to do is try to revive a sort of second generation of that type of workforce, and it's happening now at the port, and we'd like to expand that and grow it even more.
So there are developments of new sites at the port, so there's room now for even more growth.
Yeah, absolutely. If you think about it, what we have at the city is an opportunity to invest in an asset that you can't find in a lot of other places. We have a tremendous runway, highway access, railway access, and you know we can't ignore that at the city. And so we have put forward investments in previous bonds and need to put investments now while the opportunity is presented in front of us in competing with other aerospace jobs as they're deciding to move to different cities, move to different states to relocate for better cost or for their workforce. We believe that San Antonio will be that city, and it'll be the city for a generation of middle-class residents and San Antonio residents who can really move a generation forward.
So you're painting a very optimistic picture about what's happening with the local aerospace industry. All right, so hang on. I'm going to take another caller, Joe, on the line. Let's see what Joe has to say. Joe, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Yes, I'm listening to this program, and I hear Mr. Miller say these wonderful things about this establishment here at Port San Antonio, which is all good. But I think it's also important that they mention the job loss that is going into effect as we speak, including all the people in warehouses and logistics. We have a company there called Pratt & Whitney that's closing its doors, and we're losing all that talent. And there's nothing being done by the city or any government official to bring anything back at the moment. Can you elaborate on that a little bit, please?
Sure. Thanks, Joe. Thanks for that call. So let me ask you, Mr. Miller, we're losing Pratt Whitney. They're pulling out of San Antonio. They do engine maintenance. Is that the main thing?
They do the same kind of work that some of the other companies do. But, yes, it's rebuilding engines.
And so what about that loss?
That's unfortunate. That was a consolidation where they took the small facility they have here and relocated it to Cincinnati with some other facilities they have. We've been working with those people with the through the city and through the chambers, looking for ways that we can find other employment opportunities for them. This is a talented workforce. And as there's growth opportunities coming down the road with some of these other companies, we're very interested in trying to help these people gain those jobs as they become available.
Now, I've got an email from a listener. Can you ask your guest if he knows why the city did not pursue CyberJet more? That's CyberJet. You know what that is? CyberJet.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. So, Councilman Saldana, let me ask you. I know we can't say anything about what's happening with the 777X in Seattle and all those things. It's top secret. But if they moved to San Antonio, if it was possible, could we handle that? Could we accommodate them?
You know, in a position like the one that we are in, you never want to say or close a door on any opportunity that's going to provide thousands of jobs potentially for future San Antonio residents. You know, whether it's a capacity question, I think One of your callers mentioned that there was, you know, instances in which we are losing jobs out there. It's a wake-up call for all of us. And so if we're talking about adding more jobs, we have to have serious conversations if we have the capacity to do so and if we have the workforce. And so if we hate to be reactionary, but if it was a wake-up call, you know, we're certainly listening. And we've got our foot to the pedal, and hopefully we're not running out of gas here, but we've got a lot of people at the city now interested in assuring that San Antonio is growing its aerospace industry. If it's manufacturing, if it's maintenance or repair, you know, we need to make sure that all options are on the table for us.
Well, following the 777X airliner situation in Seattle, of course, the union there is negotiating with them to keep the Boeing planned wide-bodied plane there. But even in their local media in Seattle, saying if they lose it, it would probably come to San Antonio. So San Antonio obviously has some competitiveness there.
Yeah, I'll say so. Absolutely, I happened to be in Seattle at that same time, and you know, Boeing certainly is built into the fabric of that community. But in the same way, you know, we as a city who are competing for our residents, you know, have to take advantage of opportunities like that. And if it means that our city is more competitive on regulations or cost of land or its workforce, we'll use those to our advantage. But, you know, this is an industry that pays a living wage to its residents. It's proven that at the port. And, you know, if San Antonio sees an opportunity, we have no reason but, you know, to go after it.
Mr. Miller at Port San Antonio, how important is San Antonio's historic legacy of aerospace history here in dealing with these things?
Well, it's become well known that what happened at Kelly over the years created the Hispanic middle class in San Antonio because, as was mentioned earlier, it provided sustainable wages for a long period of time. And you could take your children and get them into college and do things that you couldn't do prior to that. We continue that legacy. That legacy is extremely important, and it provides a lot of the support. People know Kelly. People know Kelly Field and what happens there, and they want to be a part of it. And so we have a continuing interest and support, as the councilman is expressing. This is very important to San Antonio, and we're all pulling together to help these companies turn around, expand, bring new companies here. That's what it's all about.
I know that they've formed a task force to reach out and promote San Antonio's with Judge Wolf and former Mayor Henry Cisneros, other big name local people involved, trying to get the word out that San Antonio is open for business in this area.
And the mayor took a leadership role in making that happen, and that group is deliberating now, and we're seeing some new ideas and new approaches that we hope will strengthen the whole process.
All right, so tell me about what are some of those new approaches. What needs to happen here?
It's basically a collective working together to promote and ensure that we have the proper incentives and structures and space and all the components that the councilman was talking about, I've been talking about, that they all come together in a competitive way. And we are competing strongly with other communities.
Now, one last question for Councilman Ray Saldana. So I know the city of San Antonio did budget money for some improvements to Port San Antonio in this upcoming year. So can you talk a little bit about that and what do y'all hope to gain out of that?
Sure. Yeah. We came to this discussion, and I had taken a tour out. And for viewers who are listening, when you take a tour out there, what you'll see is that there's a lot of great looking buildings that were built back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s that can certainly service the needs of an aerospace tenant or the military in those times. But you know, it's now 2013, and we need to upgrade our assets. And so the city said that we aren't going to wait around, and this is a opportunity where the aerospace industry is moving more towards commercial. We need to prepare those sites, and we can't let the infrastructure dwindle out there. So we committed $3.7 million to making sure that we are putting forward our investment to assure the future of job creation at that area. And just to, you know, add to the conversation you were having about the task force is talking not only about bringing in new tenants, but expanding the workforce of the current tenants who are there at Port San Antonio now.
All right, Councilman Ray Saldana from District 4, thank you so much for joining us and helping us understand better San Antonio's position as a aerospace powerhouse in the nation and trying to be competitive. And so Bruce Miller, CEO of Port San Antonio, with this infrastructure, I mean, are we talking about building new buildings? Is this just new roads? Is this doing maintenance? What needs to be done out there?
All of the above.
Because, I mean, $3 million doesn't go as far as it used to.
It is a big assist. It continues a tradition of we've invested over $500 million in the last 13 years there in preparing and regenerating these buildings and the land. Recently, we just opened a segment of a re-extension of 36th Street. We basically moved the road away from the airfield so that we opened up more land for developments like we're talking about. We moved utilities. We moved power stations, CPS, SAWS, the city, the county. We all participate and put these projects together. Texas, the federal government, there's been a wide range of funding commitments over the years that continue. So, you tear down old buildings, you scrape the land, you move utilities around, and you open up new sites.
So when it comes to bringing new aviation jobs to San Antonio, old rivalries kind of melt away a little bit. Red, blue, doesn't matter. Everyone kind of gets on the team.
This is important business to develop jobs for our citizenry. We all come together.
All right. I definitely want to thank you for joining us this afternoon. Bruce Miller, the CEO of Port San Antonio. We've been talking about aviation industry in San Antonio. According to the Greater San Antonio Chamber of Commerce, over 10,000 jobs here in the city are provided by the industry, and it's pumping in $5.4 billion a year into our local economy. And you've been listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.